Do you feel like you're going through life clouded by doubt? Talk to California Psychics. Our trusted and accurate psychics are available 24/7, and we guarantee if it's not life-changing, it's free. Download the app or connect with us at californiapsychics.com. Right now, new customers get 80% off their first reading. Experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Welcome to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. We dive into stories of true crime, from unsolved cold cases to historic kidnapping to gangsters and beyond. We are your source for true crime. We thank you for listening.
Imagine a quiet suburban town where cheerleading is more than just a sport. It's a symbol of status, popularity, and social success. Now, imagine a mother so obsessed with her daughter becoming a cheerleader that she's willing to commit the unthinkable. Welcome to tonight's episode of the chilling true story of Wanda Webb Holloway, a Texas mom whose desire to see her daughter on the cheerleading squad led to her hatch a shocking murder plot. We're going to dive into one of the most bizarre and jaw-dropping cases in American true crime history. Stick around as we uncover the unbelievable details of the murder-for-hire scheme that stunned the nation and asked the question, how far is too far when it comes to a parent's ambition? Get ready, because this story is about to take you into the darkest corners of competition, jealousy, and deadly obsession. Wanda Webb Holloway was born in 1954 in Channelview, Texas, a small town nestled on the outskirts of Houston. Channelview, like many suburbs across the United States, was emblematic of the American dream for middle-class families. It was a place where families moved for a quieter life, good schools, and a close-knit community. However, as is common in many suburban environments, this tranquility often masked an underlying competitiveness, especially when it came to matters of social status and child-rearing. In Channelview, one of the most prestigious and visible indicators of social success for young girls was the role of cheerleader. To be a cheerleader in Channelview was to be popular, admired, and socially superior. As cheerleaders represented their school in sport events, pep rallies, and community events, they were seen as leaders in the student body. For parents, having a daughter in the cheerleading squad could mean prestige and recognition in the community. Mothers in particular took great pride in their daughter's accomplishments, often becoming highly involved in the competitive world of cheerleading, gymnastics, and dance classes that were seen as stepping stones to cheerleading success. For Wanda Holloway, this competitive world was more than just a typical suburban contest of social status. It was a deeply personal endeavor. Holloway, who was known to be ambitious and status conscious, saw cheerleading not just as an activity for her daughter Shanna, but as a reflection of her success as a mother. In a town where appearances mattered greatly, having a cheerleader daughter became a source of validation. Wanda wanted her daughter to shine, and cheerleading was the arena in which she envisioned Shanna achieving social prominence. As Shanna entered her preteen years, Wanda began to push her into activities that would prepare her for cheerleading tryouts. She enrolled her daughter in gymnastics, dance lessons, and cheerleading camps, all the while, all with the goal of making her a competitive candidate for the cheerleading squad at Channelview Junior High School. The junior high squad was seen as a feeder system for the high school cheerleading team, and getting on it was an important milestone in a young girl's trajectory. In this high-stakes environment, competition between families became fierce. Mothers formed alliances and cliques developed, all revolving around whose daughters were more likely to make the squad. It was in this atmosphere that Wanda's competitive drive turned into an obsession, especially as her daughter faced stiff competition from Amber Heath, another local girl whose mother, Verna, was well-connected in the community. Amber's cheerleading skills were well-honed, and Verna's involvement in the community gave her daughter an edge that Wanda perceived as unfair. This seemingly innocuous rivalry between two mothers over their daughters' cheerleading futures would soon spiral into a deadly game of envy, resentment, and ultimately a murder plot that would shock the entire nation. At the heart of the eventual murder-for-hire plot was a rivalry between two families, the Holloways and the Heaths. Verna Heath and Wanda Holloway were both mothers in Channelview, but their personalities and social positions were markedly different. Verna was a well-liked figure in the community, involved in various school and extracurricular activities. Her daughter Amber was not only popular but also talented, excelling in cheerleading skills from a young age. Amber's early success was a source of pride for the Heath family and was admired by others in the community. Wanda, by contrast, was quieter and more introverted. While she too was involved in her children's lives, she did not possess the same social opportunities as Verna Heath. Wanda's ambitions for her daughter, however, were just as strong, if not stronger. She saw cheerleading as a way for Shanna to gain the popularity and social status that Wanda had perhaps never fully achieved herself. It wasn't just about Shanna making the team, it was about beating Amber Heath. The competition between Amber and Shanna intensified as both girls approached junior high school. For Wanda, Amber represented the perfect cheerleader, skilled, confident, and with the backing of a well-known, well-connected mother. Amber's success during tryouts, coupled with her innate talent, made her a clear favorite for the squad. When Shanna first tried out for the Channelview Junior High cheerleading squad in 1989 and didn't make it, Wanda was devastated. To her, it was more than just a disappointment. It was a personal failure. She became convinced that Amber's success was directly hindering Shanna's chances. Wanda's frustrations grew over time, especially as she watched Amber excel in cheerleading while Shanna, remained on the sidelines. While other mothers might have accepted the situation and encouraged their daughters to keep trying, Wanda saw Amber and Verna as obstacles that needed to be removed. She believed that the Heath family's influence and Amber's talent were unfairly blocking Shanna's path to success. The rivalry escalated in Wanda's mind, becoming all-consuming. It was no longer just a friendly competition between girls or a normal case of parental desire for a child's success. It became a personal vendetta against the Heaths. The pressure of living in a small town where everyone knew each other and social hierarchies were keenly observed only exacerbated Wanda's sense of frustration and resentment. In her mind, the only way Shanna could succeed in cheerleading was if Amber Heath was no longer in the picture. And with this line of thinking, Wanda's obsession with the Heath family took a dark turn. Rather than focusing on her daughter's improvement or accepting that cheerleading wasn't in the cards for Shanna, Wanda began to contemplate the unthinkable, eliminating the competition by force. In the winter of 1991, Wanda Holloway made a decision that would forever change her life and the lives of many others. Instead of focusing on ways to improve her daughter's cheerleading prospects like most normal people do, she decided to pursue a far more sinister solution. She would have Heath, eliminated. In Wanda's mind, removing Amber would clear the path for Shanna to finally achieve the success that had so far eluded her. What started as a rational grudge had now escalated into a deadly plot. Wanda reached out to Terry Harper, her former brother-in-law, whom she believed would help her orchestrate the plan. Harper, an oil field worker, had known Wanda for years, and although they were no longer related by marriage, they still had occasional contact. Wanda believed that he could either arrange the murder himself or find someone willing to carry out the crime for her. She trusted him enough to reveal her deadly intentions, believing that he wouldn't report her to the authorities. In January 1991, Wanda approached Harper with her shocking request. She wanted Amber Heath dead. However, as they discussed the plan further, Wanda decided that killing Amber alone wasn't enough. She began to worry that if Amber were killed, her mother Verna would be devastated, and in her grief, she would transfer her ambitions to Amber's younger sister, potentially making her the next cheerleading competitor for Shanna. Wanda wanted to ensure that all obstacles were removed, so she told Harper that Verna needed to be killed as well. Discussions between Wanda and Harper were cold, calculated, and utterly devoid of remorse.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Wanda spoke about the killings as if they were a mere business transaction. She told Harper that she was willing to pay $2,500 up front and another $2,500 after the murders were carried out. Harper, although shocked by Wanda's request, played along. Unbeknownst to Wanda, Harper had immediately contacted the local authorities after their first conversation and had agreed to help them set up a sting operation. Over the next few days, the police recorded several phone calls and in-person meetings between Harper and Wanda, in which she laid out her plans in detail. The recordings captured her discussing the logistics of the murders, including when and where they should take place, and her rationale for wanting both Amber and Verna dead. Wanda's casual and matter-of-fact tone during these conversations was one of the most chilling aspects of the case. She expressed no guilt or hesitation, only concern that the job be done efficiently and effectively. In one conversation, Harper asked Wanda if she had any doubts or second thoughts about going through with this plan. Wanda's response was stark, saying, quote, "I don't care how it's done, just make sure it's done." With this statement, she made it clear that she was fully committed to the plan and willing to accept the consequences, as long as her daughter's path to cheerleading success was secured. On January 30th, 1991, Wanda Holloway's plot came to an abrupt end when she was arrested and charged with solicitation of capital murder. The arrest sent shockwaves through the community of Channelview and soon attracted national attention. The idea that a mother would go to such extreme lengths over something as seemingly trivial as a cheerleading competition captured the public's imagination and turned the case into a media sensation. Wanda Holloway's arrest marked the beginning of a sensational legal drama that captivated the nation. By the time she was taken into custody, the media had already latched onto the case, dubbing it the cheerleader murder plot. The idea that a suburban mother in a seemingly normal town would hire someone to kill a young girl and her mother over a cheerleading rivalry was so bizarre that it seemed like something out of a Hollywood movie. The public was eager to learn every detail of the case, and news outlets from around the country descended on Channelview to cover the unfolding events. The prosecution's case against Wanda was airtight, thanks to the recorded conversations between her and Terry. The tapes revealed the full extent of Wanda's plan and left little room for doubt about her intentions. Recordings were played in court, and they made for damning evidence. In one particular chilling exchange, Wanda expressed no remorse for what she was planning, saying that she didn't care how the murders were carried out, as long as Amber and Verna were dead. During the trial, the prosecution painted a picture of Wanda as a cold, calculated woman who became so obsessed with her daughter's success that she was willing to kill for it. They argued that Wanda saw cheerleading as a status symbol, and when her daughter failed to make the squad, she became consumed with envy and resentment. According to the prosecution, Wanda believed that by eliminating Amber Heath, her daughter would finally have the opportunity to achieve the social status that had been denied to her. Wanda's defense team, on the other hand, tried to portray her as a desperate, overwhelmed mother who made a terrible mistake. They argued that she had never truly intended to go through with the plot and that her conversations with Harper had been exaggerated or taken out of context. He also suggested that Terry Harper had manipulated Wanda into going along with the plan, knowing that she was vulnerable and emotionally fragile. Despite the defense's efforts, the jury found the evidence against Wanda overwhelming. After deliberating for only 2.5 hours, they returned a guilty verdict. In September 1991, Wanda was convicted of solicitation of capital murder and sentenced to 15 years in prison. The case was over, but the public's fascination with it was just beginning. Years following the trial, the case became a fixture in American pop culture. It was the subject of numerous articles, television specials, and even an HBO movie titled The Positively True Adventures of the Alleged Texas Cheerleading Murdering Mom, which starred Holly Hunter as Wanda. The movie took a darkly comedic approach to the case, highlighting the absurdity of the situation and the extremes to which Wanda had gone in her quest for her daughter's success. Wanda's story did not end with her conviction in 91. In the years following the trial, she continued to fight her conviction, appealing the court's decision on the grounds that there had been sure misconduct during the trial. In 94, a Texas appellate court agreed with her, ruling that one of the jurors had improperly discussed the case outside of the jury room. As a result, Wanda's conviction was overturned, and she was granted a new trial. In 96, rather than go through the ordeal of another full trial, Wanda decided to enter a plea bargain. She pleaded no contest to the charges of solicitation and capital murder. In exchange, she was sentenced to 10 years in prison. However, her time behind bars would be much shorter than that. Wanda served just 6 months in jail before being released on probation. She was also ordered to pay a $10,000 fine as part of her sentence. After her release, Wanda retreated from the public eye. The media frenzy that surrounded her trial had died down by the mid-90s, and Wanda was able to live a relatively quiet life, albeit with the stigma of her crime still hanging over her. For her daughter Shannon, the ordeal had lasting effects. The immediate attention and the public scrutiny of her mother's actions weighed heavily on her, and she distanced herself from the world of cheerleading and the expectations that had once dominated her life. Shannon's relationship with her mother was undoubtedly strained by the events of the early 90s. It is unclear whether they were ever able to fully reconcile. The Heath family also had to deal with the emotional fallout of the case. While they had been spared from Wanda's deadly plot, the knowledge that someone had wanted them dead over a cheerleading competition was unsettling. Amber, the intended victim, went on to live a quiet life, far removed from the spotlight that had been cast on her during the trial. The Wanda Holloway case is a particularly extreme example of the pressures that can arise from parental expectations and competitive environments. While most parents would never contemplate murder, the case sheds light on the intense pressure some parents place on their children to succeed, especially in areas like sports, academics, or extracurricular activities like cheerleading. It also raised important questions about how far parents should go in encouraging their children to succeed, and what happens when those expectations become unhealthy. In Wanda Holloway's case, the pressure to succeed was amplified by the specific context of cheerleading, a sport that is often associated with popularity, social status, and physical appearance. For many girls, making the cheerleading squad is seen as the ultimate mark of success in high school, and the competition to get on the team can be fierce. Parents, too, may see their child's involvement in cheerleading as a reflection of their own status within the community, leading them to push their daughters harder than they should. Wanda's case also highlights the dangers of projecting one's own ambitions onto a child. While Wanda may have initially wanted Shanna to succeed in cheerleading for Shanna's sake, it became clear over time that Wanda's own desires for social status and recognition were driving her actions. In projecting her own unfulfilled ambitions onto her daughter, Wanda crossed the line from supportive parent to obsessive, controlling figure, ultimately leading to her to make a decision that would ruin her life and endanger the lives of others. When success becomes more important than the child's happiness, the results can be devastating, as they were in Wanda Holloway's case. If you like our true crime content, give us a thumbs up if you like our video, hit that subscribe button down below. Of course, if you want to support the channel even more, you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNS. As always, your support is greatly appreciated. Everything you give, whether it's $1, $5, $20, $50, $100, whatever you give, goes directly right back into this channel, helping us grow our channel, upgrade our equipment, bring in new hosts, pay them, and hopefully take this show on the road. Your support can help make that happen. As always, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF, Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
You have been listening to the True Crime Never Sleeps podcast. Thank you for listening. You can follow us on Facebook at True Crime Never Sleeps podcast and on Twitter at True Crime NS. And follow us on Instagram at True Crime Never Sleeps. Thanks for watching. If you want to support the show, buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/TCNN or become a patron at patreon.com/truecrimeneversleeps.